The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Well, good morning. Good to have you here. Am I on? Am I off? I'm on. Good to have you here today. Good to see you all. Happy Mother's Day for you moms. And for you Father's Day, well, next month. We're going to start a new series about the home, and I want to tell you why we do this. Hopefully we're going to take every year between Mother's Day and Father's Day to talk about the home. And the reason we do it is that the home is a smaller version of the church. And homes today are under attack. Divorce rates are high. We have kids that are out of control. We have parents who are out of control. I mean, we have problems in the homes today. And finding good, godly homes where moms and dads stay together for a long time, they're tough. What we want to do is take this time to build up those of you that are in a home. Now, understand that we're not here to pick at anybody. Everybody here finds ourselves in different kinds of homes. Some of you have had issues. Some of you have done great. Some of you are even if you've done great, you still have problems. You still have issues. Let me tell you my background. And I don't talk about this much, but this is my background. I came from a divorced home. I came home when I was 8 and a half and found my dad packing up his stuff and leaving us. And from that time on, I was the dad of the home. My mom raised 3 boys all by herself. So I've got a soft spot in my heart for moms, especially for single moms, because I know how hard it is for you ladies. As we talk about things over the next couple of weeks, I want you to understand that what we're going to talk about is ways to make whatever home you're in better. Whatever place in life you find yourself, we want to make it better. We want God to be able to bless you where you are. Because I don't care what circumstance you find yourself in this morning, God can move in it. God can do good things. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing here. If I didn't believe God could bless your home, no matter what circumstance you're in, we would just be teaching something else. In fact, I probably wouldn't even touch the home because I'd be embarrassed that God didn't have any power there. Instead, I believe God has power. And the home is under attack today by Satan. And not because Satan doesn't like people. It's because he hates the church. Make no mistake about it. If Satan can attack your home, he can attack the church. He weakens the church by having husbands and wives who are constantly at each other, by kids who are disrespectful to their parents and who disobey and are rebellious. That's the problems in the home. And those all are based on how Satan hates the church. So we're going to talk to moms today. I'm going to give you a couple of moms that aren't necessarily the ones we normally talk about. So my message today is, hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. You ever notice that you got these big burly football players? They're on the sideline and they come off running off and they've just pounded this poor little running back into dust. This big 350-pound steroid-induced behemoth. You know, he weighs 350 pounds and he runs a 40-yard dash in a little over 4 seconds. Now look, anything that big, that fast, ought to have a motor attached to it. Or a stewardess or something. I mean, it's just big and fast. And he pounds this guy in the dust, and he gets up, and he taunts him, and he screams at him. He comes running off the sideline. They pan to the sideline. There he is. He's got blood and mud caked all over him. He pulls off his helmet, and he goes, hi, Mom. It doesn't make sense. Maybe it does. Maybe it does. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. All the parents said, amen. Look, I'm not going to. I'm going to prompt you for this each time, parents. You got to help me out here. There are teenagers in the room. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Amen. Oh, man, you guys are slow. We'll just go on. For this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Which... Oh, we're in trouble. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. And you know what the promise is? If you honor your father and mother, you know what the promise is? The promise is they won't kill you. That's the promise. No, maybe that's not it. That it may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Let's pray this morning. We're going to talk about two specific moms, and we're going to see what God has to say. Father, I pray that you'll touch the homes that are in this place today. God, and it's a burden of my heart to see homes made better. Lord, you can do great and mighty things. If we put our trust in you, we put our faith in you, Father, touch us. God, pray specifically for moms today that you would bless them. Thanks, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. She's never won a beauty contest, yet in our sight, there is none more beautiful. She's never gained national recognition, but she's one of the most important people in our lives. She's never written a romance novel, yet every young man, when he gets ready to marry, searches the world over to find someone just like her. Or not. Look, somebody else wrote this thing. I'm just quoting it, okay? Because in the back of the room, my wife was saying, if you say I'm like your mom, I will smack you. See, you don't realize the pressure that's up here. She's never been a clown in the circus, yet she's a lot of fun to be around. She's never been a marriage counselor, but she chooses every word wisely when she counsels her child. She's never been a professional cook, yet she's cooked thousands of meals for those she loves. She's never been a nurse, but she's the first one that we run to when we're hurt as she kisses away our tears. When you're a kid, do you ever go to your mom? Mom, I cut myself. And your mom, oh, poor Ben. You go to your dad? That's not so bad. Go on. That's dad. We used to call them trophies in our house. They'd go to mom. Lynette would say, oh, look at the, oh, poor. They'd come to me, dude, nice trophy. All right. The kids walked away. They didn't know what to do with that. She's never been in a war, but she would gladly lay down her life for her child. She shared her time, her makeup, her clothes, her jewelry with the daughter she loves, not the son, please. I told you there are problems in the home today. She shared her money and the car with the son she birthed. Maybe not the car, but she shared, and maybe not the money. We set aside this day for moms because moms are special. And their assignment is difficult. Rita Kramer wrote a book about some of the difficulties of motherhood. And she would know. She has 8 kids. 8 kids. We stopped after 2. We're going to name our next kid Mo. Because ain't going to be no Mo. That's it. Namas, namas. In fact, I told Critter one point, if he'd been the first, he'd been the last. But here's what she heard. This is what's going on. Some of the things a mom hears from her children. Hey, Mom, Tony's playing in the toilet again. Mom, Todd said if I don't find his fish hooks, he's going to dump water on my bed. Mom, Josh is eating a big spoonful of something brown. It smells like peanut butter. He's sitting on your bed. He got something on your pillow, too, I think. Oh, by the way, Mom, Uncle Bob called while you were in town. He said they want to come down for the weekend. He said they were all packed up and will be coming as soon as they got all the kids stuffed into their station wagon. Then at the end of all of this passage, and there's more there, Rita Kramer writes this, and it was only 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning when all this took place. You ever have mornings like that? It's because of all these special assignments that moms carry out that we hold them in such high regard. We look at our moms and we think, and sometimes we think more highly of them than they really are. A little boy goes to the department store and he says, I want to buy a slip for my mom for Mother's Day. And the lady behind the counter says, well, what size is she? And the little boy said, I don't know. She's perfect. So they got her a size 12. 1 week later, the mom showed up at the store all by herself and changed the slip from a size 12 to a size 52. But in her little boy's eyes, she was perfect. We have to pause at this point, though, and say that not everybody had a perfect mom. Some of us have moms with issues. If that's where you find yourself today, then it's up to you to learn these lessons and turn them around for your children. Look, wherever you find yourself, you can be blessed. And that's what you need to know today. In fact, I want to maybe talk about a couple of moms who didn't have it quite so easy. Let's talk about the first mom. How about a mother called Eve? Eve was the very first mom. There she was in the Garden of Eden, her and Adam. Now, you usually hear a lot of bad about Eve. Because Eve, you know, ate the fruit, whatever the fruit was. It wasn't an apple. I will tell you that I think the fruit that we were not supposed to eat in the Garden of Eden may have been a pomegranate. And I'll tell you why. Because there is no fruit on the planet that is less likely to be eaten than a pomegranate. It's as hard as a baseball. And it takes forever. You use a hammer and chisel to open it. When you open it, it's purple and bitter and stains your hands. Why would anybody want to eat that? So I think God, like, don't eat that. That's stupid. Don't eat that. That's why you're not supposed to eat that. I don't know. I made that up. It may not have been true, but that's the way I feel about it. Eve had a lot of stuff going on. In Genesis chapter 3, we start reading about Eve and how she had to take care of Adam. And man, she had some problems there. She was the first mom. She didn't have a mom or a mother-in-law to turn to for advice. And some of you ladies said, oh, hallelujah, no mother-in-law. She had no older women to talk to about any problems she had. She didn't have a pastor she could go to for counseling. She didn't have any books to read. She had no Oprah. You know, maybe that's not such a bad thing after all. Anyway, she didn't have any classes at school or church she could attend to teach her how to be a mom. She was all by herself. She was the first one. The nice thing about that was she didn't have anybody over her shoulder saying, hey, you're doing that wrong. But she had to make this all up as she went along. She was the first wife, the first mom, and everything she did all by herself. And we want to cast aspersions on Eve. When Lynette was teaching a series on the Old Testament when Christopher, our youngest son, was born, and she had just finished talking about Adam and Eve. And one of the curses on Eve was that she would bear her children in pain. We're driving to the hospital down the 8 freeway in San Diego. A labor pain hits Lynette. She looks over at me and she says, right now I'd like to slap Eve. You remember that? I meant it. I still mean it. She had to make this all up as she was going along. And yes, she ate the fruit first. And yes, she took it to Adam. Like the lady in church who said, well, if it wasn't for us women, where would you men be? And an old bachelor in the back said, in the Garden of Eden, sister. In the Garden of Eden. You think about it. Everything she did for the first time. Everything she did with her kids, she did for the first time. We told our first son, Isaac, he said, well, you know, you guys made mistakes. We said, yeah, well, you know, you're the first one. We're breaking you in. We're learning from you. You're a guinea pig.
Thanks, Dad.
Eve was truly the first lady, the first wife, first mother, and she made some mistakes. Eve ate the fruit, but do you ever notice what happened? God comes down, finds out that Adam and Eve have eaten of the fruit, and he asks them, hey, what happened? And Adam, the very first guy, pins it on his wife. Now, that's not the first time it happened. It is the first time it happened, but it won't be the last. In the New Testament, a woman is brought to Jesus in the very act of adultery. I mean, they catch her red-handed. And they drag her to Jesus. Well, I'm not sure how, you know, well-versed you are on the process, but it takes two people to commit adultery. You don't commit adultery all by your lonesome. It takes two people. But the guy's never mentioned. They didn't bring the guy to Jesus. They just brought the woman. They blame the woman for the act of adultery, but the guy was there. We blame Eve for sin, for casting the first sin, but Adam was there. Adam partook. Adam didn't have anybody to blame but himself. Now, guys, let me tell you something. We men, we want to pin a lot of stuff on our wives. Well, it's my wife's fault. Come on, grow up. Guys, it's us. We sin because we want to. We're bad husbands because we're bad husbands. See, ladies, that was your perfect chance. And again, I can't keep prompting you on this. Come on, guys, let's be honest. If you're a bad husband, it's not your wife's fault. It's your fault. Thank you. But that's true, isn't it? We want to blame everybody else for what we do. We've got to be honest. We can't be like Adam. James chapter 1, verse 14. In fact, we just finished the series on James. James 1:14 says, each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. If Adam didn't have the desire to sin, he wouldn't have sinned. Pure and simple. Can't blame it on your wife. Can't blame it on your mom. Can't blame it on your circumstances. Can't blame it on all this other stuff. We sin because we want to. So ladies, I'm behind you. But that doesn't mean Eve didn't sin. Let's look at Eve for a minute. First of all, a couple of things you need to know about Eve. First of all, she didn't have the perfect husband. Not like all you ladies today. Be quiet back there. Be quiet back there, Lynette. In Genesis 3:12, we see God coming down, and there's a problem. God has found out that they've eaten the fruit in the Garden of Eden. God's found out about it, and he's not happy. And he comes to him, and he goes to Adam, and he says, hey, Adam, what's the deal? You were told not to eat the fruit, and yet you did. Genesis 3:12, the man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. In other words, God, it's not my fault. It's your fault. God, you gave me the woman. Nice try. Nice try, Sparky, but it's not going to work. God, I wouldn't have done it, but that woman you gave me, and by the way, she's your fault. She gave it to me, and then I ate it. And we find it all over the place, people trying to justify their sin, people trying to do their thing. But let me tell you something, Adam wasn't a good husband. Adam didn't love Eve the way he should have. How do we know? 1 Corinthians 13:5 says that love is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love is not self-seeking. The only thing Adam was seeking was to save his own hide. I mean, he saw the handwriting on the wall. Oh, man, they're going to kick us out of the garden. I like the garden. It's nice. There's food here. Maybe if I blame God and the woman, he'll just kick the woman out. No, you're going to. Love does not place blame on other people. Love steps up and says, you know what? You're right. It was me. But the Bible doesn't say anything about Eve. It doesn't say that Eve even defended herself. In fact, for all we know, Eve kept her mouth shut. Eve didn't have a perfect husband. That doesn't, however, justify her sin. And ladies, you need to know that if you don't have a perfect husband today, that doesn't justify anything in your life. Because let me tell you something. My wife, although this is going to come as a shock to her, doesn't have the perfect husband. I'm sorry, Ned. She's crying back there now. I'm sorry. None of us have a perfect husband. Why? Because there's no such thing as a perfect husband. Even in those romance novels, those guys got some stuff wrong with them. See, the perfect husband doesn't exist because your husband is just a man. So, ladies, you can't use that as an excuse. Eve didn't have a perfect husband. The second thing Eve didn't have is perfect children. In fact, Eve had some problems. Because one day her oldest son, Cain, killed his brother Abel in a field. Now, that's a bad day for a mom. Because you've got one kid, not only do you have to deal with the loss of one son, you've got to deal with forgiveness of the son who killed him. Now, you want to talk about making Thanksgiving awkward. That's going to make Thanksgiving awkward. See, along the line, Eve made some mistakes. But God gave her a new beginning. In fact, the third son was named Seth. So he was a new beginning. Hey, folks, wherever you find yourself today, God can bless you. You may not have a perfect husband. You may not have a husband. You may not have perfect kids. But you do have a perfect God. And that's the important thing. Next mom we want to talk about is, again, one you don't hear very much about, a mother named Hagar. This is not Hagar, the little Viking dude in the comics. That's Hagar the horrible. This is Hagar the mom. Just want to clear that up in case anybody was worried. Today we hear about surrogate mothers. one of the movies that's out today, Baby Mama, which is a hilarious title. I haven't seen the movie yet because it's just, anyway, it's a hilarious title, though, about a lady who can't have babies of her own, so she calls in a surrogate mom. Now, based on the clips I've seen of this, you got to be careful who you choose. A surrogate mom, sometimes we have adoptive moms. Maybe they're not your kids. Maybe you've adopted them. Maybe they're stepchildren. You know what? You're still a mom. In fact, NBC just had a huge problem this week. I don't know if you read about this. They're doing a Mother's Day special, and they were going to call adoptive moms and stepmothers. They were doing this thing about honoring them. Non-mom moms. Wow. Needless to say, there were some problems with that. And moms came up for air. See, if you're in a house with a kid, you're a mom. Whether it came out of your womb or not, you're a mom. And you've got rights and responsibilities with those kids, too. That kid, too. I've got half-brothers. I don't call them half-brothers. I call them brothers. Why? Because it doesn't matter how much of our parentage is the same. We're brothers. Sometimes a couple can't have children of their own. They get another woman who can carry the child for them. That's surrogate. Sometimes they adopt. I had a great kid in my youth group named Rick Graham in El Cajon. And his parents, great, great people. But they couldn't have children, so they adopted Rick. And then, as it turns out quite often, once they adopted Rick, something kicked in, and they had three more boys. But Rick used to tell us, or two more boys, excuse me. Rick used to tell his brothers all the time, said, wait a second, they chose me. They got stuck with you guys. Well, in Abraham's day, back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, they didn't have surrogate moms. Here's what they had. If a mom, in this case Sarah, couldn't have a baby, Sarah would tell Abraham, her husband, you know what, I can't have a baby, so I'll tell you what. Here's the servant woman. Go. I'm trying to think of a gentle way to say this. Go procreate with... go in that room over there and don't be, you know, don't say anything, but... Go make a baby. And they would do it. So that's what happened. Now here's the problem. Abraham had gotten a promise from God that he would have a baby. Sarah got the promise that she would have a baby, but she kind of got impatient waiting for God. You ever get impatient waiting for God? Okay, no, I'm sure none of you ever do. Just me. We get impatient. We're waiting for God. I'm like, hey, God, come on. The clock is ticking. And so Sarah decided to do what a lot of us decided to do. She took matters in her own hands. She said, here, Abraham, I can't have a baby, but here, go take Hagar, and she'll have a baby for you. And she did. And then named the baby Ishmael. Now, the problem is, that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for Sarah to have a baby. Abraham and Sarah took it upon themselves to figure out a way to fulfill God's will instead of letting God do it in his time. And when the baby was born, Hagar turned the baby over to Sarah, and Sarah loved him like she loved her own child. She raised him as her own child, but then a problem came. Then God's promise came true, and Sarah got pregnant. Well, now there's a problem because Sarah has this baby that's not really hers. In fact, she's got nothing to do with it. But now she's really going to have her baby of her own. And the baby's born. Now Ishmael and Hagar find themselves on the outs. In fact, Sarah can't stand the sight of them. And so Sarah basically gets them kicked out of the place. And Hagar and Ishmael go far, far away. Understand, Hagar didn't do anything wrong. She did as she was asked to do. As a woman, she gave of herself, didn't she? She didn't ask for this situation. It was thrust upon her. And now she's got this child, and she's kicked out of the place. She's all by herself. She's literally wandering in the desert. She's got no place to go, nobody to turn to. She's all by herself. Sound familiar? See, there are a lot of moms today who find themselves in this situation. They love somebody. He turned his back. He's gone. And they're all by themselves. And let me tell you something. The reason that happens is because we as men aren't men. Hello? If you're a man, it takes more than making a baby to make you a man. Being a man is stepping up and taking your responsibilities. Being a man is saying, if you made a child, you raise that child. Be a man about it. Amen? I'm sick of kids growing up in single-parent homes because dads won't stick around. You make it work, dads. You find a way and you make it work. So ladies, I sympathize with you when you find yourself all by yourself because dad won't stick around. That's exactly what happened to Hagar. Asked to do something, and then all of a sudden found herself by herself. She's wandering in the desert. She's got nothing. She finally gets herself, and it got so bad that death seemed the only way out, so she sits down under a tree, under a bush, and she's waiting for her son to die. I see these pictures of kids in these war-torn areas, in these desert areas, Somalia, and places like that where there's no food for them. Their bellies are distended with hunger, and they're about to die. And you see the moms holding them, and the moms are helpless. They did a news report the other day about a lady, I believe it was Haiti, where there's absolutely nothing for these women to eat, and they're making cookies out of dirt. And feeding them to their kids, and their kids are starving to death. But the dirt at least fills their belly and makes them so it doesn't hurt so bad. This is tragic. And here's Hagar, lying there, waiting for her son to die, waiting for herself to die, but God comes to her. In Genesis chapter 21, God hears her. Verse 17, he says, God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what's the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift up the boy, take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert, became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Hagar was at her wit's end. She didn't know where else to turn. Ladies, when you get to the end of your rope, you're going to find out that God's there. Corrie Ten Boom said, when you find out it's just you and God, you realize that God's enough. Ladies, I don't care how hard your circumstances look today. I want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God is there. That God loves you. That God hears your cries. Listen to me now. God hears you when you weep. God hears you when you pray. God hears you when you cry out. God hears you when you say that you're alone. God hears you when you say, I don't know how I'm going to pay this month's rent. God hears you when you wonder how you're going to raise children by yourself. God hears you and God cares. And if you'll just look, God will provide the spring. God will provide the well that you need to make it through tomorrow, to make it through today. God will provide. I guarantee it. I watched over and over again in my own life growing up where we would have nothing and God provided. Where we looked like it was it. There was nothing. We were going to get kicked out. We're going to do this, this, and then something would come. I've watched it happen. God has a way. Verse 18 says, "That lift the boy up, take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Ladies, if you're raising kids on your own today, you need to know that God is going to lift your kids up. You need to know that God is a co-parent along with you. God is going to do great things. God cares about you and your children. God cares about your family. You need to know that. And a lot of times it's easy to think that you're all by yourself, that you're the only one. But God hears your prayers. You know, we could have lifted up a lot of moms today. And it's real easy to talk about the good mom. We could have preached about Mary, mother of Jesus. We could have preached about some of the great moms from the Old Testament. But you know what? I think sometimes we need to look at some of these moms who had it tough. Because that's where a lot of our moms find themselves today, having it tough. Maybe you don't have a perfect husband. Maybe you don't have a husband. Maybe you don't have perfect kids. Maybe you don't know what's going to happen next. But I will tell you, just like God told Hagar, God is going to do great things. God hears your cries. That's why the scripture we read earlier, children, obey your parents. That's what we're told. Children, obey your parents. Because God gave them to you. And I don't care how old you get, you need to honor your mom. I don't care how old you get, you need to tell your mom you love her. My mom, thankfully, my mom is still with us. I got a chance to call her and tell her I love her. And I get impatient sometimes. She calls me during the workday while I'm in the middle of doing something and wants to talk to me about something cool she saw on television. And I'm like impatient. And then I hang up the phone and realize this is the mom who sacrificed so much to make sure that I grew up. This is the mom who gave up meals so that my brothers and I could eat. Teacher asked a class one time, if you're at home and there are 9 people and 8 pieces of pie, who's going to go without? Or no, if there's 1 pie and 8 people, how many slices of pies do you need? The little boy in the back said, 8. She said, 8, you obviously know anything about fractions. He said, you obviously don't know anything about my mom. Because she'll go without a piece of pie to make sure we all get one. Doesn't that ring true? Moms, God hears you. Proverbs 30:11 says, there are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. I want all you kids to look at me. Let that never be said of you. I hear teenagers who are disrespectful to their parents, and it makes me mad. In fact, don't do it in front of me, because I'll call you on the carpet. I don't care if you think that your mom is the dumbest person ever hit the planet. She's due your respect. She's due your honor. And if you don't honor your mother, you are sinning. You hear that? Teenagers, you hear that? You talk back to your mom, you're sinning. You disrespect your mom, you're sinning. You disobey your mom, you're sinning. Mom, you need to know, first of all, I, Jerry Godsey, I respect you incredibly. I respect you, I respect what you do. That and a dollar will buy you coffee somewhere. But when I tell you that God loves you, God hears your cries, and God cares about you, that means all the difference in the world. Moms, you need to know you're special to God. And I couldn't tell you Happy Mother's Day if I didn't believe it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, I thank you for the moms that are here this morning. God, I know they don't have it easy. I look around the room and I know they don't have it easy. God, some struggle bad. And Lord, even in the homes that look perfect, sometimes they still struggle because they struggle with self-doubt. They struggle with self-recrimination. But God, you love them. and you're there to make up the difference between the imperfect kids and the imperfect husband or the lacking husband. God, you're there. You hear their cries. You want to give them peace. You want to give them joy in the midst of everything that looks bad, God. Let them feel your grace. You know, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, moms, I just want to take this to you right now. If you walked in today and you felt like you were laying under the bush waiting for you and your kids just to die, I want you to know God cares. Maybe you're a mom here and you've got imperfect kids. Your kids have had troubles. You need to know God hears your prayers. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling just like you're not making it. You need to know God loves you. When some of you came in, the biggest issue you had today was not the one you thought. It's the fact that you don't know Jesus. Or maybe it's just been a long time and you and God are far from each other. You need to know God wants you and has wanted you for so long. So I'd like us to bow our heads and we're going to pray. And moms, I'd like you just to follow along if you would. And ask God to come in. Forgive you of your sin. See, that's the first step. But then to go that next mile and say, God, I may not have it perfect, but I have you. And that's all I need. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. Lord, I pray for moms here today. If you're a mom here, would you say this today? Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come on, say it to him. Forgive me my sins. I want to be a good mom. I want to be blessed by you. Say it now. God, bless my family. Come on, mom, say it. God, bless my family. Now I just want you to tell him thanks. You had whatever needs you had today, God hears them. Just tell him thank you for the answer. God, thanks. You're going to bless these moms, God. You're going to touch their lives. You're going to touch their homes. And God, just like Hagar knew that you touched them because you said, I will make your child a great nation. God, it was a promise. God, you're promising these moms today. You're going to make up the difference. You're going to stand in the gap for these moms. God, you're going to do great things in them and through them if they'll just put their trust in you. Thanks, Father. Thanks, Father God. Bless these moms now, Lord. We ask it in your name. Everybody say it? Amen. Moms, thank you. Thank you. Stand with us, you would. Let's worship one more time.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.